Conversation. It's Friday. Yes, you're listening to the Teach Computing podcast, and it goes out every Friday. And my name is Alan O'Donoghue, techno teacher on Twitter, T-E-K-N-O, teacher. Now, this week, I spent 2 days down in Devon at the Park Community School in Barnstaple. And while I was there, I had a few words with John Williams. Listen to what John Williams had to say.
In Devon.
Right, so, John Williams, you're either head of ICT?
Yeah, head of IT at the moment, soon to be computing possibly. So, I tried to come on one of your courses last year.
Ah, okay.
And same with every school at the moment, budgets are tight. And by the time we put on ONCOS, because Preston's a long way, with fuel and staying over and everything, I was told it's too expensive. So I tried to come up with a way around it and originally got in touch with you via Twitter. And then through those conversations, you mentioned something about CPD for free. And we've looked at that, and what that means for us, which has been fantastic, is that you can come down to us and my staff can get trained up on anything that we wanted to. So we had the first day on computing and the second day on Python, which has been today. And we had your school sold places for the event. So for us, it's been absolutely brilliant.
So are you already teaching computing here at school? Or?
No, it's something that conscious that we're going to put in for September. We've just had options night.
Right.
Quite a lot of interest. But my staff, as myself and one of my other main colleagues, are, you know, taking a bit of a lead on it. But some of my other staff just haven't even looked at Python, haven't got a clue. And it's about, we wanted to get some experience for them as well.
And we're talking about GCSE computing, but also because the national curriculum is called computing from September. Do you think at the moment your year 7, year 8 and year 9 classes, do you think that they're prepared to be teaching?
No, as a school we've kind of tried to do, you know, steps towards the process.
Sure.
And, you know, conscious that if we're going to do Python in, you know, years 10 and 11, then we want to start doing it a little bit earlier. But like I said, the staff that I've got at the moment, there's not the confidence to be able to deliver it. And that's why, one of the reasons I wanted to get a Python day. And the ability to get them into training for no cost apart from supply cover.
But are they not, I mean, here in Devon, Barnstaple's a fairly big town. Are they not? No?
No,
no?
Not really. There's two secondary schools in Barnstaple, in North Devon.
Right.
So you've got Barnstaple, you've got Park and Pilton.
Right.
But there's not, you know, I used to teach in Leeds. We used to have 42 secondary schools roughly up there. Here, there, North Devon, it's spread out miles away. So Holsworthy is one of our local schools, but it's an hour's drive away.
Right.
So
today we had, altogether we had 15 people on the course.
Yeah.
So some of those have had to travel big different distances.
Yes, we had, we're in Barnstaple, North Devon, so we had somebody come up from Land's End, from Heal, that end. We had somebody from Newquay.
There's a lady came from Hale.
She
stayed overnight, didn't she?
Yeah, she stayed overnight as well, so we've had big distances to come to.
But there's courses on in London and Manchester.
That's our problem, is that for us down here, not a lot happens. So we've either got to go to London, Manchester, Bristol is probably the closest we get.
Yes.
So even for us here, we're 2 hours away.
From Bristol.
From Bristol. But anybody that's further south than us, Cornwall and whatnot, it's still a long punt up, so they're probably going to have to stay overnight or something like that. So,
you've had 2 days of training completely free for you and your colleagues here in the school,
Yeah, oh yeah.
Sometimes people give things away for free, and you think, that's not quite what I expected it was going to be. Was there anything of value that from these days that you think, like, oh, that particular little thing that we did or that?
I think just the whole overall experience is that now that we actually feel that we can actually move forward with this. Because I think it's the same for most people. You've gone from the bit where this computing thing's coming and you're really quite worried about it to the bit where, okay, no, I've got to go with this.
Got my head around it.
Yeah, and with these 2 days, we're now at the point where actually, we know where we want to go And we've got some strategies to take it forward. So for us, and talking to other people on the course, obviously behind your back, everybody's come away really positive, and everybody said that if we run anything with you again, they want me to contact you. So it's that's obviously says something.
So over the last 2 days, I've shown you lots of little strategies and things. Yeah. Like we did some paired programming with rallies. We looked at using sabotage. We did espionage. We steal ideas from people.
Yeah, and the driving and the navigator. Yeah, so yeah, particularly like that one. So you know, it's
Was there one of those things in particular you think, you know what, I might try that in the next day or two?
Yeah, I was going to say tomorrow is definitely going to be the driver and the navigator. Right. So the whole point of timing it and allowing students to teach each other.
Sure.
You know, it's sometimes you can get caught up in that rabbit in the headlights and you running round, and that's that's not helping anyone.
Do you think one of the things about the nature of computing? Do you think that there's are you worried about the fact that children can access all these resources online? And it may mean that some children in your classroom are going to be more experienced and knowledgeable than you. Does that worry you?
Not particularly, because I think some of the other stuff that we've done in the past, you know, even if it's, say, Photoshop or something like that, there are students that know far more than I do, but it's using that in the right way. So that's not been such a concern for us. Is one of the things I did when we first started looking at computing in a department meeting is we printed out the entry-level coursework.
Right.
And I handed it out in a department meeting and said, right, where do we start with this? Sure. And not one person in my department could start.
Yeah.
That was our level. We have started from there. And, you know, today, everyone in my department and everyone that's come, we've done a GCSE-controlled task that we've had a look at and, all very similar. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody's kind of like, oh, it's not so bad. We know how to, start the motion, start the direction going for it. So... yeah.
Now, there was a lot of people today, some of them I don't think you've met before, is that right?
It's new faces, which is always nice. But again, local-ish, but people have said that maybe we start up a peer support group that we can talk to each other and stuff like that. So.
Right, John Williams, Park School.
Park Community School, so... Yeah.
And you're on Twitter as well, aren't you?
Yeah, at JONJWilliams, so at John J. Williams. So, I'm starting to get there with Twitter, right. But I'm not there yet. So, but I'm still working on it.
Are you getting ready for September National Curriculum Computing?
Yeah, we're there with everybody else, so we're trying to get there. So,
thank you very much, John.
No, thank you. So,
you're going to feel famous now,
isn't it? Possibly. So, I've now arrived at, is it Bockabar?
Bockabar, yeah.
Bockabar in Bristol for Teach Meet Bristol. There's a few Teach Meets happening tonight, is that right?
All over the country, yeah. So
it's like a special celebration of Teach Meets.
Teach Meet UK, yeah. A few people were talking about Teach Meets taking place, and people like ICT Magic and Stephen Lockyer and a few other people, Prep Heads, and said it'd be really cool to actually organise a whole load on the same evening.
Gosh.
And so I think there are 20 odd different Teach Meets taking place across the country tonight, of which this is one.
Okay. So you've just been listening to the voice of Mark, who has written a book called Outstanding ICT.
It's a perfect ICT, every lesson. So it's not about the perfect IT lesson, though. It's about being able to use technology really, really well in every kind of lesson.
Ah, across the curriculum.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so, is it like just the secondary phase? Or
no, primary and secondary. There's case studies in there for primary and secondary and for FE as well. And it's just about getting people to think about how they use technology, think about e-safety, trying to make things more purposeful. So rather than sort of doing substitution type learning, rather than just typing something up, actually doing some collaborative work and getting out there.
Transformative as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's about the pedagogy of technology. Yeah.
So is the book all about the technology then?
No. So the first chapter is about sort of ICT from zero to hero. But in there we're talking about the SAMR framework. We talk about how you can take things from substitution to augmentation, modification, redefinition, and moving things on there. And there's some ideas and some frameworks in there to support that and what have you. And there's a section about how e-safety can tie in with lots of different subjects as well, and how that sort of impacts on what you can do with students online. There's loads of stuff on, not just digital literacy, but literacy as well. I don't want to take all the time talking about the book,
okay.
But
but do you think there's a danger that, Robert Massey, who's in front of me, is using some technology just as I'm talking to him. Do you think there's a danger that you put some technology in people's hands and they think, oh, I've got it now, let me see how I can use it? Do you think, like this chicken and egg, do you think the technology should come first and then you look for application? Or do you think think of a use and then you try and get the technology?
Well, it can be a danger. I mean, our school has introduced iPads for all year 8s. And there is a little bit of feeling among the staff that we've got this technology, what should we do with it in terms of learning? What should be happening, of course, is the other way around. The learning must come first and the technology supporting it.
It's just a tool, but isn't it?
It's a tool to use. So, but we can't have a... In terms of schools, having the iPads is brilliant. We're maybe doing it slightly back to front, but it's brilliant to have the technology.
Sure.
We will now find the way that the apps can support the learning, and that will be driven by great teachers coming along to teach meets, sharing ideas, sharing what works, what didn't. One of the innovative features of tonight was no technology.
We had no screen, no projector.
No PowerPoints, it was just teachers talking. So that meant that, refreshingly, for once, if Mark will forgive me, we didn't have an app smackdown, we didn't have an app fest, it was sharing ideas that we can use every day in the classroom.
Good old-fashioned traditional pedagogy,
which still has a place.
Yeah, I remember I went for a job interview about 14 years ago for a technology post, and I had to teach a lesson, a technology lesson, without any technology. It's like the CS unplugged things. Talk about plugs. We also have Stephen O'Callaghan.
Yep.
What do you do, Stephen?
I'm a computing teacher in Bristol, so I've been teaching computer science for the last 2 years. I took the plunge after there was a meeting actually with Mark and Dr. Tom Crick and Dave Morgan, Lesson Hacker, which inspired me to make the change, because I thought that the ICT curriculum had a place, but computing was offering up more problem solving for the students.
So have you had some children go through GCSE, do their exams?
Yeah, I've had two groups go through.
Is that nerve-wracking?
It was a little. It's quite, you know, the first time you pick up a new subject, you're learning all the time, and I guess I'm always tweaking and refining, and I'm using things like TeachMeets to think about my pedagogy and how I can improve my lessons.
So you're iterating through your class as you go along?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So do you come to teach meets regularly, the three of you?
I don't work there anymore. I used to work at a school called Cleveland School, though. And I've organised six teach meets there. And so I've met Robert and Stephen through that. Just through networking and sharing, and we met at different events over time. And it's just really good to be able to get together and share ideas. But going back to what you were saying before about technology sort of leading the learning, I think that any kind of technology project isn't a technology project at a school, it's a learning project, you know, and one of the key things for me is about sort of supporting staff so that they can have confidence, you know, and there's some research done by some guys, Mandan, Action, and Klein, and they basically map out teacher confidence across different levels, and I feel my role really is to get teachers to a position where they are empowered to know when to not use technology or when to use technology. You know, so that it's being used for the right reasons.
So when it becomes more fluid, that you're not having to, and it just seems to come naturally. Just like, hang on, let me go and pick a pen up, and scratch something down.
So you don't rely on the technology, but you pick and choose when it's most appropriate to use it to aid the learning.
That's right. I've got this technology in my room. I press a button and it locks all the desktops in the room. And I found I became really dependent on that. And then I just thought, I could just tell the children to turn the screens off. And actually, that works a lot more effective.
Yeah.
You know, it sort of reinforces my behavior or classroom management rather than that. Can I just ask, because I feel I should let you go back to what you were doing beforehand. If I asked you to summarize in 60 seconds one idea that you saw tonight, would you be able to do that each? Could you just sort of, yeah?
Yeah,
what idea you liked?
I saw a great idea around a help desk function. So I've forgotten her name, but Mark might be able to help me out.
The help desk function.
Learning stations.
Yeah.
Kate_J_Davies on Twitter. Ask her, she'll tell you all about it.
Okay.
So the idea is to try and make the kids a little bit more independent. And so what she would do is she'd have a board in her classroom and she'd attach resources related to the topic they were doing.
Yeah.
And instead of those students going to her and relying on her for the information and the answers, she'd direct them to the help desk. And if they couldn't find something to help them on the help desk, they would write their question up on the help desk,
right.
And then other students or gurus would come around and answer those questions.
Like frequently asked questions, and then the questions that hadn't...
Yeah, very much
like
that.
Yeah.
So, it was great, fantastic.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. And that was probably 60 seconds. Robert?
No, I'd endorse that. That was brilliant. A very visual idea. Buy 150 T-shirts for £168. Give them to your CD borderline maths class, or presumably your English class or any other subject class, get them to write key facts, key dates, key formula on them, and they take them home and they wear them. They revise at home, they learn at home. So it's they become a fashion item. And I'm not sure if there's a Twitter handle for those guys, but it was a brilliant idea. But I just wanted to also mention the sheer addictive power of Minecraft.
It's mad.
My 9-year-old is utterly obsessed. If we as teachers can tap into games as collaborative tools, I think we're really, really onto something, because they learn from that, and it's very creative. And initially, I was grumpy old sod. You know, I didn't want to know. Get off, get off, get off. Then I saw him really creating with it.
So my son. Still, every so often, spends a few evenings on Minecraft, and I have to go and tell him to go away. And the other night, he was showing me, he built this shaft that goes down like 500 blocks, and then put one block on the top, and he was explaining that when you walk across this block, it actually disintegrates as you step on it. I said, what's the purpose? He said, yeah, but I've put some diamonds around it. So if somebody walks out of this building, they go to get the diamond, they fall down the shaft, so you can then take things. And he said, see, you know, people say, if something looks too good to be true, then it, So it's actually building. Exactly. Building it into Minecraft.
Wow.
Now, Mark, your 60-second idea from Teach Me Crystal.
Say, Robert's taken my one, but my second favourite was one from Kelly Madonna. She's on Twitter as Miss K McD, but she does a thing in her class with loyalty cards. And when students do something worthwhile, there's some caveats on the back, as you get with your Tesco loyalty card and what have you. Posing for a picture for Stephen as well right now. Students can either opt for the quick reward and win and what have you, or they can actually bank a number of them to get a bigger prize. Like, and if they fill the loyalty card in, then they can get a postcard home as Miss McDee's sort of hero of the week and what have you.
Brilliant.
So I thought it was really, really good.
Right. So there's a lot of people who listen to this podcast that have probably never been to a Teach Meet before. I mean, and I haven't been here, but I've managed to steal all the best ideas. And now I can jump back in my car and drive off
of your home. No.
Thank you very much. So it's Mark, your surname's just gone.
Anderson.
Mark Anderson, and on Twitter you are
ICT Evangelist.
Is that all one phrase? And Robert Massey, on Twitter you are
at Dr. Massey.
Dr. Massey?
No, D-O-C-T-O-R.
Okay, and Mr. O'Callaghan, is that right?
Yeah, and it's Mr. O'Callaghan EDU on Twitter.
Well, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the it's the teach eat now, isn't it?
The teach eat.
It's a bit of a tradition that you
let
go
me
from.
At the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. So that was Teach Meet Bristol. And now, moving through space and time, I'm back in Preston again in my classroom. And who sat in front of me?
It's Vicky. Again.
Vicky Dodd. I was going to call
Vicky
you Vicky
Dodd.
Vicky Vill.
Vicky Vile, Vicky Dodd.
Vicky Vill on Twitter.
Back again.
So, Vicky.
Yes, Alan.
Tell me what you've been doing with your Year 10 GCSE computing class this week.
I haven't had many Year 10 GCSE computing students this week because they've been on work experience, and I only had those leftovers who didn't go on work experience. And it was actually great. We had we had three lessons, two of which was spent, again, perfecting their approach to the controlled assessment, looking at the write-up and how to present their evidence for that. And then we had another lesson that was not in a computer room, so we did some CS Unplugged activities. And I introduced the concept of binary, and we did binary to deanery conversion. So it was I taught them what deanery numbers were, which they didn't know, even though they used them on a daily basis. And then we were looking at binary and introduced that with the number one and what does it mean. So they were kind of
were
not
like
entirely sure.
Four or five children.
Yeah, basically,
Did that feel really weird?
It was really nice. It was great. And we had, obviously, the kind of, you know, the numbers 128, 64, 32 on bits of paper along the top of the table. And then they had eight pieces, like little just scrap pieces of paper with ones and zeros on either side. Mm-hmm. And then I just got them to lay out the numbers 128 to number two to number one at the top, and then underneath they lay out the ones and zeros, and then we approached it from there, basically converting their binary numbers to deanery and back again.
There was the Teach Computing with Python course that I did in Barnstaple in Devon. One of the questions I asked them was, "What's the best resource that you're doing, or how do you engage and inspire children?"
and there was a teacher there called Nick, and he said, one of the things that I do is he says, I tried it one day. He said, I numbered all the chairs in the room in binary, and then I asked the children to put them in order. And it was like trying to watch them order them. So was a number that if it had four ones, was that a greater number than, this kind of thing? And he said, but he just wrote it with a felt pen on the back of the chairs. And he said, the next class that came in, he said, it was funny because the children were obsessed. Like, sir, why are there like numbers like zeros and ones on the back of the chair? And he said, and this whole conversation came from that. And that was more of an accident. He hadn't planned for it.
Yeah, well, I didn't actually plan to do these lessons because I obviously only found out the day before that we weren't going to be in a computing room because of the extended learning days. But it was actually a really good opportunity because the students that I did have, by the end of the lesson, were confident in converting deanery to binary and binary back to deanery.
Wow.
And they knew how to do it. We went over it a few times and it was just really simple.
It's always one that I've thought, oh my goodness, this is quite a tough concept to get across.
Yeah, it was really easy.
Yeah. So how did you explain to them, like, why we need to count in binary rather than deanery or hexadecimal? Hexadecimal? Sorry.
No, I didn't go into hexadecimal because it was only one lesson. We were talking about, obviously, the language that the computer understands and why binary is used in terms of ons and off, and the computer basically being just a collection of switches, one being on, zero being off. And then that was about it, really.
Okay. So, well, on Tuesday, we had our extended learning day in school. Now, I know I've spoken to people from other schools, and they say they have similar things to this, but they have different names. So there was a lady I was talking to in Barnstaple, and she said they call them impact days.
Yeah.
Did you have these things at Ashton?
We did, yeah. We used to, for controlled assessments and things, if we needed to, we'd take them off the curriculum time, off timetable for an entire day if need be. They didn't have them for options, but we also had things like STEM days, where they'd spend a whole day, and it was curriculum enrichment, really.
So in our school, every year group, year 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, in a year has four different extended learning days. And for the whole school, the timetable's suspended. Mm. And, it could be that year 7 are doing a maths combined with technology day. It could be that year 8 are doing drama combined with fitness. So it's ways of linking subjects together. But Tuesday's extended learning day was a bit different because it was the children...
was just year 11,
correct,
wasn't it, being off timetable?
But they get four of these because they have four option blocks, A, B, C, and D. They have four option days.
Mm.
So my group are A, option A, so they had Tuesday was their full day. So it was, in some ways, it's a great opportunity because you can do things sometimes when you've got 5 hours all together that you can't do in five single lessons, one after the other. I'm not totally convinced that I made the most effective use of that day. Some children just thought it was great. I let them bring in music players, like MP3s and suites. And some of them, literally just all day, they just sat there and they just got on with what they had to get on with. But there was others who just found it a real struggle. And I think I should have known because in the weeks before, they kept saying, are we really going to have computing for 5 hours all on that one day? So the one conclusion or a concluding thought that I've had is, so this is the second time, they're my year 11 classes, the second time I've had a GCSE class. When in the past we've talked about the approach that you're doing now with year 10, where they do a practice assignment. Now, my class haven't done a practice assignment. We have done bits of practice assignments, but we don't have that available together. And I know definitely with the next group that I have, that's the approach that we're going to take. And in fact, the Computing at School forum, there's been loads of questions in the last few days, it's been really good. But one was a teacher called Lee, and he was saying, are there any resources out there to support it? I think there might have been a bit of confusion. Does he mean to support the students, or does he mean to support the teachers?
Yeah.
And Jason Pitt, who's a GCSE moderator, he was saying, well, clearly, if it's you can't give children things that are going to help them with the coursework assignment, because... No, you can't give them solutions to the coursework assignment.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he wasn't saying you can't give them materials that would support
help prepare
help prepare them. Mm. So I suggested to Lee that he get in touch with you because you got these...
Oh, they haven't.
No, well, it was only this morning. It was like 6 a.m.
Oh,
cool. I was in Newcastle-under-Lyme this morning.
Yeah.
So,
I've got just about that. I had one of my, in the class, in the really mixed ability class that I've got in year 10 that I'm preparing for this control assessment, one of the lower ability boys, who I've had this week as well, finished another practice, so his second practice assignment. Mm-hmm. Now, I had scaffolded this quite extensively for him, which he is aware of. And that means basically I provided a writing frame, I provided a partially completed programme that he then had to
correct.
And
this is all for the practice assignment.
This is all practice. Yeah. But he had to complete it. So he had to complete the writing frame and do his own investigation. He had to produce his own evidence in the form of screenshots. He had to do his own testing and he had to write his own evaluation. I provided sentence starters for the analysis, I provided sentence starters for the success criteria, I provided some of the initial algorithm outline. I did provide a flowchart, I did not provide the pseudocode.
Sure.
Okay, so we had to do all of those, and I also provided...
Fill in the gaps.
I provided a partially completed program that he had to complete to make it work, with comments in it for guidance. So he had to complete everything. Now, I'm talking here a student who's probably got a target grade or expected target of a maximum of a D grade. He actually, on this particular assignment, would have went after he'd finished it with my scaffolding, got 32 out of 45.
Wow.
Now, he was absolutely over the moon with that, which is really motivational for him, but he is aware that he would be expected to do that independently. So once the scaffolding has been removed, he's obviously got to complete those tasks himself.
But he will have those resources available to him as well.
Of his completed work.
And the experience of having been through it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, when they come back after half term, they'll have just 1 week of recap, to reorient themselves in the computer course and what's expected of them. And then I will be introducing only task one of the controlled assignment. I'm not introducing all three tasks in one go.
I think one thing that could seem a bit daunting, and when I've been doing the Teach GCSE Computing and the Teach Python courses recently, I've actually done, with the teachers that have taken part, in 1 hour, we've actually done a practice assignment, and I tend to use the guest a number. And I will say, right, and I'll just verbalise, I'll say, this is what the problem is, now analyse it. Then I'll say, now, here's some flowchart symbols, or use pseudocode and design a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Then I might give them some of the code, the first bit where it says, like, and then complete that, and then we talk about how to test it. So you can actually do it in an hour. And in fact, I'm wondering if I should do that next week with my class. But they're pretty close to finishing the assignment, so it's one of those things with hindsight.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's developing the course over time. We're only in the third year of the course, really.
Yeah.
It's the third year. 3 years ago, it was a pilot course.
That's right, yeah.
So there's bound to be mistakes made, and it develops and improves over time. So it's one of those things.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
So you know what date today is? It's February 7th.
Yes.
And what happened 2 days ago?
Oh, we got, it was actually on, wasn't it on February the 4th when the government announced that, they announced their £500,000, didn't they?
Yeah.
£500,000 to support teachers and to get programming into schools, and that's another £500,000. But then we had the launch of the Year of Code.
Wow, that's so great to have, the Year of Code.
Millionjobs.org is the UK, I think.
Underscore,
it is.
Yeah. At
Million Jobs. The Year of Code.
So this is going to be great, you know.
All this attention now on coding, and all this now media support, the government are backing the initiative, and there's going to be a year of events in coding.
There's going to be loads of resources and things. I mean, it's almost like what we've already got with computing at school, but it's been backed by the government.
Well, now the government have finally said, yes, we support this initiative. So it's a case of, what have computing at school been doing for the past 12 months, really?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden attention is being paid, which is fantastic.
So I've not really had much of a chance to get on the website yet.
I've been on the website.
Oh, right. Okay.
I have. Yeah. The Moshi Monsters coding experience in Google Blockly.
The ping pong.
Yeah, Moshi Monsters. Yeah. Moshi Monsters Pong.
Okay.
And you code it in Google Blockly.
All I managed to see was...
I managed to crash it.
When I got on, all I managed to see was all the names of the companies, the sponsors and partners.
There's some really big names there. That's fantastic, isn't it?
I didn't see Computing at School on there.
No, BCS though.
Yeah.
Technically the same thing.
If you're not a member of Computing at School, you really should be. There's about...
It says 9,000 on the website.
I don't know, I'm kind of have a hunch it might be closer
somewhere between 7,000 and 9,000. Mm. And there's loads of resources. I just can't keep up with the... In fact, like, if I had to say in 10 seconds what was so great about computing at school...
The master teachers.
Master teachers, Mark Dorling, Simon Humphreys, the other Simon. Yeah. Simon, can you name his second
Peyton
name?
Jones.